This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hi, Carm Capriotto, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy, the 606th episode, and we're honoring the recipients of the first annual Apex Service Professional Awards. Now, the 2020 awards include Shop Owner of the Year, Technician of the Year, and Service Advisor of the Year. Hey, sure, we bestowed a bunch of high fives on these three outstanding aftermarket professionals, but you're going to love this episode because we discuss their roles in a shop environment and why working together through trust and respect make a huge difference for the business and the work environment. Help me welcome Brian Sump of Avalon Motorsports and Urbana Auto Care as the Apex 2020 Shop Owner of the Year. Norm Schultz of Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan, is the Apex 2020 Technician of the Year. And Jason Sexton of Dynamic Automotive in Frederick, Maryland, is the Apex 2020 Service Advisor of the Year. The key talking points for this episode reside at remarkableresults.biz/E606. Now, hey, I just heard that Apex 2021, again, is going to have the best and the brightest trainers and another great schedule of technical and management training. Now, this is specifically for shop owners and technicians. Now, stay tuned right here for more details as we get them. We'll send them to you. For now, make sure Apex 2021 is on your calendar. Get it entered in your digital calendar November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Hey, it's time to wow your customers while keeping your distance. We still need to do that right now. Now, even while staying 6 feet apart, Shopware's innovative technology will help you move cars through safely and efficiently. Completely digital workflow allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Request a demo on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, our fun-paced show Aftermarket Weekly is where we feature the wisdom from a guest host and the industry's first weekly virtual shop tour. It's now a podcast. Find it on your favorite podcast listening app. Search for Aftermarket Weekly. Hey, a warm welcome to the Apex 2020 award winners. Hey, guys, how are you?
Great, Carm.
Hey, doing great, Carm. Thanks for having us.
Hey, listen, you heard a lot of voices. Let me explain who's who here. Brian Sump, Avalon Motorsports and Urbana Auto Care in the Denver, Colorado area, which was the Apex 2020 Shop Owner of the Year.
Good morning.
The 2020 Technician of the Year, Norm Schultz from Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan, and ASE Master Certified Technician. Hello, Norm.
Good morning and Happy New Year to everybody.
We're recording this on New Year's Eve 2020. How cool is that? And also with us is Jason Sexton from Dynamic Automotive, headquartered in Frederick, Maryland. How you doing, man?
We're doing great. Thanks for having us back, Carm.
Oh, no problem. The Service Advisor of the Year. Yeah, I was so honored this year to be actually able to present your awards on Apex and do your, you know, little bio background on it. It was so much fun. And of course, people went back and they listened to it. I said to myself, we've got to bring you guys together because for Apex, this is the first annual. This was a milestone for Apex to bring the level of recognition to the service sector of our industry. I'm so happy that I was involved with them. And I'm also happy to have you all here and go on a little deeper. Brian, one of the things that I know about your great company, and you were a professional sports person. You never turned a wrench. Now you're one of the, you know, a highly respected shop owner in the industry. You didn't get where you are by being anything but a great leader. And some of the things about your company that I so admire are your values. Did you create those values? Did you work with the team on them?
Yeah, we did. This was probably 7 or 8 years ago. Somebody had brought up in a peer group this concept of having your values. And I look at values much like, you know, SOPs, standard operating procedures. Many times we develop these things and we put them on a shelf or in an electronic folder and they just sit there. Somebody also told me that, you know, while you're developing these values, it's one thing if the owner comes up with these things and says, okay, everybody, here's our values and here's how we're going to live. Maybe much akin to a parent teaching their child and saying, you know, but you get a lot of time with your children to raise them up. These are like usually adults that you gotta teach these things. So they said, well, suggested maybe you come up with them with your team. And so what we did was I came up with two. And I let the team come up with the other four. And that's how our value is established. Now, we do have them printed on large poster boards at every store, like when you walk from the shop into the front office on the backside. But we actually talk about them a lot, not only in the hiring and interview process, but we talk about them with our team members as a barometer for how are we doing? And those sorts of things. And I think they're highly important.
You know, that is so critical. What I know about the power of values is so many of the actions that we take every day as a team member of Urban Auto Care, I'm either demonstrating the value or I'm not. And if I'm not, what an opportunity to realign me as one of your peoples.
Absolutely. That you can use them in reviews, whether they're weekly, monthly, or annual reviews. But I think anytime you do a training, it's nice to just talk about them. And all of our front end staff, especially, they're required to know them. And so we do monthly advisor trainings, and we'll randomly ask team members. The first letter of all six of ours spells the word STRIPE, STRIPE. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a way for them to remember the words, and it helps them, you know, rearticulate them. So yeah, we talk about them.
I love that. When I discovered that it was STRIPE, do you mind if I list them off?
Sure.
Synergy, trust, responsibility, integrity, positive attitude, and excellence. I love to be able to think of, you know, you think of SWOT, you say the words, you know what they mean. You say STRIPE, you know what they mean. I commend you for having done that many years ago. What kind of difference has it made in your company?
Well, I think it's made a difference. Now, something that I think is really important is I read years ago to be able to break your values down into three categories. Many people talk about your core values. These are our core values, and that's fine. But we believe they should be broken down into three categories. Your aspirational values, which is synergy, trust, and responsibility. We're striving toward those every day. We're striving to accomplish those things. Your minimum values, which for us are integrity and positive attitude. These are the minimum values a person must possess to be in our company. If you do not possess them, you cannot be in our organization. And then the last one is a core value, or what we call a cornerstone value, which is excellence. Always striving to reach your highest potential. And that's in our DNA. And that's one that is unwavering, and we will not compromise on that. So that might help others as well developing these.
This is a bonus for sure. So happy that you're here. You're not where you are today in this industry and speaking everywhere and earning and winning all these awards if you hadn't built the core mission, vision, values set inside your company. Wait a minute. An automotive repair shop has all this stuff going on? Well, wake up and smell the roses, everyone. And I trust me, I believe the people we're talking to that are listening now say, hey, I get this thing. I know Brian. And you're right. These are so critical and important. But then if you have a friend who's struggling and he doesn't have this, send him the link to this episode and let him hear this. Hey, Norm, you're sitting in Bill Nalo's office with me right now. And, you know, thank Bill for nominating you. And then, of course, the committee picking you. He told us this great story about a young 28-year-old, I think he said, walked into my shop some 20-some years ago, and it changed his business.
Yeah, he changed my life, too, though, at the same time. The year before I came to Interstate, I was never a person that went from job to job to job. You know, I always kind of wanted to stay where I worked for a long period of time. And there's a lot of mechanics that just move for a dollar just to make a little extra bit and things like that. And they're never really happy. Bill, he was a good friend of Joe Grusing from Fix and Go. And Fix and Go was one of the very first jobs I had that I felt like I worked for a family or with a family. And when I left there, because Joe sold the business and went to another building, I went to Sears Automotive for quite a while. And when I met my potential at Sears, I left there and I struggled to find a place I was happy at. I guess what I'm getting to is the year before I came here, I went through 13 jobs and I was unemployed for 3 months at that time.
In the year before you went to Interstate, you had 13 jobs. I mean, that was like almost every 3.5 weeks.
Actually, I've worked at places for an hour and left. I couldn't find a place that I was happy at or felt like this is for me. You know, I was looking for more than just a paycheck or just a job. I wanted to find the right place where I can go and grow and become Norm 2.0, the next step that I can go to. And I felt really comfortable with Bill that way.
Guys, I don't know about you, but that was just the coolest statement. Norm 2.0. Oh, my God. That's change and reinvention, Brian. I don't know how you look at it, but that I'm going to reinvent myself.
And Bill has helped me become that Norm 2.0. Like, he made this business with me. you know, and we've helped each other grow. You know, there was nothing that Bill wouldn't do for me personally, professionally, and anything that I would need to help me become the next step, getting into driverless cars in the future and things like that. Me and him are both really excited about that.
When you reinvent yourself, you're thirsty for, if you will, reinvention and knowledge. I bet you go to sleep every night saying, bring it on.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I hang out with the kids and I try and teach them things. And, you know, I build a record set with my son and my daughter helps us out and we do things like that. And I try to get them involved in like things I do at work. And
give me an idea. Like what?
With my daughter. She loves doing anything with me. She loves cutting the grass with me, spending time with me. You know, she wants to come to work with me and see kind of what I do for a living one time. And she sees the awards and she's seen the magazines. Like, I remember the magazine we were in at Vegas. And my daughter was so happy to see me in the magazine and see my boss and us on the pit, on the cover. And she's just kind of interested. And, you know, and when I was her age, I was kind of interested in kind of working and doing things too because my mom worked a lot. And I think I'm starting to see that a little bit in her.
Hey, Carm here. Now, Brian Sump explains three different kinds of people: sponges, hyenas, and camels. Hey, Carm here. And I can't say enough about the quality of instructors and the high level of technical and management training that was offered during the recent virtual APEX experience. Now, the great news is that show organizers for APEX 2021 are already hard at work to again assemble the best and the brightest instructors and the most timely and needed training for shop owners and technicians. Watch for a robust schedule of training and product demos on topics such as wheel alignment and ADAS calibrations. Also, training on how to be an effective leader, engine performance, diagnostic strategies, controller area networks, and using social media to grow your business. Now, those are just to name a few. With this caliber of training, make sure APEX 2021 is on your calendar November 2nd through the 4th. In Las Vegas. And together, let's make 2021 the year of growing sales, profits, and productivity for your business. Listen here for more APEX 2021 training and registration information. Hey, today's pandemic is causing so much stress and uncertainty for everyone right now, especially shop owners. Now, how do I make sure that my staff and my customers stay protected while still moving cars through the bays? Contactless service is our new normal, and having a shop management system that not only supports this, but actually helps your business thrive through it all, is key. Shopware's digital workflow with remote pay will provide that solution for you. Amy Matnett from Auto Craftsman recently commented on social media, and I quote, "I can't even express how grateful I am that I jumped on board with Shopware on January 1st. Would have never guessed that I would be the only one writing service at my shop, as I haven't worked in the shop for the last 15 years. But she goes on and says, I'm running my shop nonstop every day with Shopware to help me not only get the job done easier and faster, but am totally wowing my customers." End quote. Hey, if you want to wow your customers too, request a demo at getshopware.com. You know, one of the cool things about Norm is the amount of miles he drives to and from work. And it's phenomenal. And that's pure dedication. Tell the audience how long you drive just one way.
I drive approximately 87 miles one way. It takes me an average of 1 hour and 25 minutes.
You know, Norm, this is Brian. And I got to say, sometimes I think there's value in stories and even telling other people's stories around the industry. And it's kind of like you have our top producing technician does in our company out of like 15 techs does it with one bay. And so when we have somebody in another store complaining, we kind of say, hey, look, this is what you can achieve. And if you commit yourself, and I think that to me, when we first learned about each other early on a few weeks ago, that stood out to me so substantially. And I think that when we have team members that gripe a little bit about certain things, it's like, hey, you can build a career here. You can have a lifelong partnership. And we want this to be a win-win. But there are guys in the industry, like award-winning techs like Norm, who drive 86 miles one way. And I just want to tell you, man, that I know Bill appreciates that, but industry-wide, man, if we could just get more people to buy into, like, you're going to have to make some sacrifices to find a really good thing and not have to work at a shop for an hour at a time, several times before you find a home. This is a home. It might cost you a little bit, but hopefully that short-term pain is worth long-term gain. And I commend you, man. You're a rock star for many reasons, but that's amazing.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Brian, we in the realm of podcasting are storytellers. I may not be the one, but I encourage my guests to tell their stories. And what I didn't know about Norm that I just learned was Reinvent Norm 2.0. And let me say, Norm, maybe you can share with the audience an individual who may be in a bad place, struggling, is changing jobs. What kind of resolve does it take to reinvent yourself?
I've always kind of been that way from the beginning. I worked with a guy at Fix and Go I really looked up to. When I was 18 years old, I asked him one day, he was 30 years old at that time. And I told him, you got 12 years to make me you. And he was Master Tech, the shop foreman, that guy. He looked me dead in the face and said, ain't gonna happen. And I think that flicked the switch. And I'm like, yeah, right. If you can do it, I can do it. Kind of thing. So I've kind of worked my life kind of around that. You know, there's like some people that they like to hold somebody else back. Like I was learning from him, but he was only teaching me as much as he wants me to know type of thing. And that's, I've never done that to anybody. You know, if I can make Mark, the guy I worked with for the past decade, Mark 2.0, and I think I've done so far. Now, if I can make him better than me, that makes me happy. Because we all have different traits and different strengths and weaknesses. We do what we can to help each other learn and grow here. There's nobody trying to hold anyone back where we are. And a lot of shops there are that way.
You know, Jason and Brian, he brings up such a good point about wanting to hold people back. But what I do and the people that I know in this industry, and there are thousands, no one wants to hold anyone back today. There is so much to learn. So much to teach, so much wisdom and insights that are out there. And it goes back to, I don't want anybody to learn what my secret sauce is. I'm sorry. It just doesn't exist. To your point, and Brian, I don't know, you can back me up on that. You're a giver in so many ways. I know this award is going to change how you look at what you do in the industry, both Jason and Norm, because Brian's already doing it. And Norm, I know you're a giver. I mean, because that's your nature. That's your reinvention. You know, Jason, let me go to you. You know, we haven't heard from you yet. You're a teacher. You know, that's part of your bio. We've spoken about that before. How does this all relate?
I've always been in the mind frame that I'm training my replacement. I never stand still. You stand still, you're not going anywhere. Always move forward. You can always do better tomorrow. So, you know, I'm all the time trying to give them the secret sauce. Like, hey, take my sauce, make it better. The whole team wins.
How true, how true. Jason, what kind of advice would you give to a fellow technician such as Norm and an owner like Brian about how the synergies, the connectivity, the relationships have to work in your role as a service advisor?
I kind of look at myself, I'm kind of like a ship's captain almost. I'm at the helm, you know, driving the ship, but I've also got to have people around me that are, you know, pointing me in the right direction or telling me, hey, iceberg ahead, you know. And when you're working as a team, everybody knows their roles, everybody's got their piece, and it's a puzzle that just all fits together. You got to care about one another. You know, we're a family. If somebody's having a bad day, well, hey, let's go lift them up. If somebody's done something really well, such as winning an award, or they had a car that was just, you know, really beating them up and they figured it out. And, hey, awesome. Find out what that special spark was and just spread it like wildfire.
I don't know what you guys heard, but I heard the word unselfish.
100%. Yeah.
Yep. So I think the reason that Jason and Norm are both great leaders, and in fact, I don't know Bill very well, Norm's owner. I know his name, but Dwayne at Dynamic, mm-hmm. Jason's boss, is one of my very, very good friends, and I spend a lot of time with him. And you talked about Norm a moment ago, sharing information. You know, we share it all with each other, and that's hugely impactful. But I think one of the things I know about these two, which is probably much similar to their bosses, their owners, are that, you know, I did a teaching at Ratchet Ranch a few years ago on leadership and developed like 8 different leadership styles. You can study all of those leadership styles and they can all be effective. For instance, Adolf Hitler was a great leader. He wasn't a great man or person, but look at the people that he got to follow him. So from leader and follower perspective, he was great. But in my opinion, the top quality, and we teach this in our manager training and all of our leadership training, is servant leadership. It's something that many of us are aware of, but not many people really embrace and do well. And I'm positive that Norm and Jason both exemplify that, which is one of the reasons they're such great leaders.
Jason, why do you keep a drawer full of parts?
Seeing is believing. You know, we touched on this back at the awards thing, and you know, people may not have an idea of what they're looking at, but they know they're looking at something tangible. They can touch it. They can put it in their hands. It becomes real. A lot of shops just don't do that.
So what you're saying to me is, if there's a part that's bad on my vehicle, and I'm standing across the counter over the phone with you, and I say, did he just make that up? What could that part really possibly be?
Then you put it in their hands.
And then you put it in their hands and says, hey, when you come in, I'm gonna show you a new one, and I'm going to show you the bad one, and I'll tell you what they do and why it's so important that your car won't go forward without it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Yeah, I know we talked about it at the Apex Honors, but I wanted to bring it up for the podcast audience. Advice, Brian, for your two peers here, for our technician and our service advisor.
I think I have a lot to learn from these two guys, you know, but I don't know if advice would be directly to them or for them, but I think many in the industry like them. You know, Carm, you and I are going to do a little segment here, I think, in mid-January. And what I'm going to talk about is going to be about developing your bench and creating leaders, specifically a number two in command. And when I look at these two, I think that they, with the help of their leaders, they've been created as kind of those number two in command guys. And a guy named Richard Flint, some of you are familiar with Richard, great inspirational trainer in the industry, great man. He used to teach this concept of that you have three type of people in your organization. You've got sponges, hyenas, and camels. And he said sponges are going to be the new people, and they're going to be soaking up information and processes and culture from somebody. You don't want it to be the hyenas. The hyenas are going to be people that gossip, that can't wait to get out. There's a funk in there around them all the time, and they're just unpleasant to be around. And they said, then you want to develop camels, and you got one hump camels and two hump camels. One hump camels are great. They're loyal. They'll get you through the desert. They need a little bit of water, but not a ton, right? They're not the neediest people in the world, but they're always going to make the right choices. They're going to defend you and the company, and they're in it for the long haul. And I think these two guys are like that. And he said, but if you can develop a two hump camel, he said, and if you could develop those people, I mean, they're going to be lifelong. They'll drive 86 miles each way. They'll be a servant leader. They'll have a drawer full of parts to teach clients about. I mean, these kind of people. And I think about that a lot. And what really motivates me is creating version 2.0s to Norm's nomenclature.
By the way, I'm stealing that because that is, I mean, we're going to do podcasts on you 2.0. What a great theme, huh?
It is. And you know, so we're under contract for our fifth shop. I think you guys have five now, if I'm not mistaken, up at Dynamic and Norm. You guys are single location, correct?
Right.
But you guys are growing a store, and you have to keep developing leaders. And so my advice was to be constantly developing people. Our sole driver for growth is to create career opportunities for people and also develop them personally in their personal life. A la Maslow's hierarchy, we need to have people that are provided and taken care of personally so they can be their best. But as we develop great people and we give them a shot at realizing their greatest potential, which is how we define excellence, then I think that the sky's the limit. You can create great advisors, great managers, great foremen, great district managers, great director of operations, and you can grow as big as you'd like to grow. So that's one piece of advice that I think I might say. And I think for Norm and Jason, I believe they're already doing this, but they need to keep creating leaders. You know, Norm, you talked about the technician. I forget his name, Mike or Mark, whatever. Yeah. Mark, just make him better than you. And Jason, how many advisors and how many managers can you raise up and create? So that's maybe what I would offer.
Well, Jason, it sounds like you're very optimistic that you can create leaders out of all of them. You don't see any bad anywhere, right?
No, we don't surround ourselves with people that we can't build up.
What Brian just said and what you just said, Jason, prompted me to think about good stock. I don't know if you know what I mean by good stock, guys. Where do you find it? And then how do you get rid of it if it's bad stock?
You should always be looking for the next best team member. You should never stop looking. Being proactive about employment gives you better opportunities. You don't just want to put an ad out there and 40 people come walking through the door. and maybe two of them are worth sitting down and talking to. You know, I got a lot of friends that are in the industry, and I'm all the time like, hey guys, what's going on at your place? You know, are you happy there? Or are you moving forward with your career? If not, hey, I got a spot for you. Always throwing my my hook out, trying to get that next big fish.
Norm, you motivated me to a level I never thought in this podcast that I would be thinking where I am about this 2.0 thing. But it's that mirror, you know, the man in the mirror thing. Who's ever listening to this, go back to that mirror, look in that mirror. If you're not happy, make the commitment to you 2.0 and listen to what Brian and Norm and Jason are saying to you. This may be your year, 2021. We've come out of some the most unprecedented ugliness and challenges and unknowns in our entire lives. There's 10 more adjectives I could use. I call them line in the sands that you want to jump over in creating you 2.0. Wow. I have goosebumps thinking about it. Make yourself the good stock that Brian and Jason and Norm want to work with.
Well, and to add on to that too, you know, make other people around you 2.0s.
Yes. Come to me. Let me help. Share. Build. Believe. Wow. I'm an owner, Norm, and I come to you and I says, hey, give me some great advice on how I could be a better owner.
I guess really just paying attention to each other. I mean, you can tell a lot by expressions and emotions and things like that. You know, like me and Bill, for the longest time, we didn't talk that well. But we can read each other pretty well. And that's kind of how that's like. All the people I've been around, I've been surrounded by people that I get along with. I've never really haven't worked with anybody that I don't think we've hired anybody that we couldn't work with type of thing.
Take that service advisor relationship. Someone new comes in and they go to you and say, hey, Norm, I'm Carm. I'm the new service advisor up on the counter here at Interstate. How best can we work together? What would your answer be?
Really just listen to each other. I think that's the best thing you can do. When you're new, people are shy, just like I'm new talking to you guys. You know, but once you get to know each other and you sit down and you learn how to work with each other, like Jason was talking about being the ship and running things, you know, and a lot of it is learning how to communicate with each other and learning how to guide each other. Like you don't have to say, hey, Jason, you need to do this. Like you can just walk up front and did Jason, but, oh, I forgot to get the parts for you for this, or I forgot to order that. Or it's like you can read body language. And I think a lot of that is part of the emotion part of it.
As you're talking, I thought to myself, okay, this is a guy, an A master tech, all world, that has been, how long have you been with Bill? Is it 20?
About 20,
right? So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I want 20-year tenured A master techs. And so can you give advice to us as shop owners who are listening? What are a couple of things you've had to work through, challenges with Bill through the years, and how do we keep guys like you happy if, I mean, as close to that as possible and long-term.
Me and Bill have a different relationship. We're looking at building his business and I was looking at becoming Norm 2.0 at the same time. And me and him both kind of helped each other along that way. You know, and it's not like Interstate was back then what it is now. And I got hired and then I worked my way up. We both kind of worked our way up together. Kind of like brothers in a way.
When you go to him with something, Norm, like, does he, I mean, you find that he listens and generally receives your input, criticism, complaint, feedback pretty well?
Yes. The only biggest problem I have is I seem to internalize things. So it's sometimes when I go to talk to him about something and I waited too long to talk to him about. And that's probably one of the biggest hurdles me and Bill has been working through. And yeah. He's been helping me a lot with that.
Yeah, I can relate.
And that helps you as a person outside of work too. Him being a dad, and I learned a lot from that. And, you know, I watched his kids grow up. That's pretty cool too. And that helps me become a better father at the same time and a good employee. And
Brian, question. Norm is the typical stereotyped technician, semi-quiet. Give me my focus, stay away.
I would say no. To some degree, like good technicians want to be kind of maybe left alone and they want to go into that degree. But I think from communication styles, a lot of aggressive communicating style technicians. But I think that it's probably Norm. I think you're a lot like my director of operations, Phil, in disposition. Just a loving man, you know, family man, very loyal, very committed. Been with me 13 years, my first employee. And he is not one to complain or aggressively communicate. He was more passive. And what tends to happen is that gets bottled up. And then, you know, I would love to have more Norms like, you know, in our organization. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a lot more Brians and Bills, too, you know, and Jasons. It's hard to come across a really good captain and drive the ship, you know.
Thank you.
By the way, Brian just mentioned Phil Carpenter. I did a great episode with him. It was episode 540. And exactly what Brian just described is what Phil's episode feels like and sounds like. And you could just hear it. You can hear the size of his heart when Phil speaks.
Jason, I mean, how long have you been with Dwayne and Jose and Lee and the team there?
Over 10 years now.
I always try to think about is there's always this fine line as an owner between I'm giving a lot and I'm giving too much. What do I mean by that? Well, early on, we felt like we gave all these great benefits and this great culture, did so many nice things for people. And I don't know how many lunches I bought for the team and, you know, at times in the early days and nobody even said thank you. You know, that bothers me a little bit. I don't expect every single time, but some gratitude. And one thing that I learned is everybody's not going to reciprocate and receive the good things that we offer them or do for them. So we try to work hard to get people in that are grateful, gracious, and appreciative. But how have you stayed the course for 10 years? And what's been important for you? What were some challenges that you had to overcome through the years to be there for 10 and you know, wanting to fly for the next 10?
I mean, there's definitely been hurdles along the way. One of the biggest, you know, you can give benefits all day long, vacation time, healthcare. I think one of the biggest benefits that I get here is just people who listen, who genuinely care. I'd rather have that than healthcare. I worked out in our quick loop for 2.5 years and I felt like I hit a ceiling. Like I had nowhere to go. And eventually, I actually left. I took a outside sales position with a tire distribution company. Was not a good move. It was a very toxic atmosphere and it made me realize just how good I actually had it at Dynamic with the things like people that actually care. And I came back and thankfully it was actually a blessing. A service advisor position opened up and I was like, I'm hopping on it. I'm getting on this train. I don't know where it's going. I'm going to roll with it. And I've been doing this for about 7 years now, service advising. And we've gone through some people, lost some really good people. I've had some people that, you know, weren't bad, but just couldn't necessarily grasp a hold of the job. And it's difficult, you know, when you're trying to teach somebody. And you know they're good at heart, they're hungry to learn, but it's not working. Having to make that a reality where you got to let them go is probably one of the hardest things to do. But you do it, you move on, and you know hopefully the next person that comes along is that person. Thankfully, we just got that person back. I've actually got a new service advisor. Her name's Jennifer. She's been with us about 3 months. And when she came on, I mean, it blew me away just how hungry for knowledge she was. And of course, played right into my forte, which I'm a teacher. So made that very, so that wasn't a hurdle. But, you know, you got to stick with it. You got to know that there's always tomorrow. Tomorrow can be, you can have a bad day today, but tomorrow could be the best day of your life. You could have a customer that's just, you know, nasty and yelling at you. And then the next one that walks to the door is the sweetest little old lady. She came in with a plate full of baked cookies because she took care of her granddaughter's car last week. And there's always tomorrow. There's always that next, you know, foot forward.
Yeah. And so I guess one last thing, Carmen. So if I had to capture what I think I heard both of you say to some degree, and I think Phil and I have this, and even Tom, our district manager, is we have an intrinsic faith that we will get through it. It doesn't matter what rock we're facing. It's, are we looking at that through a lens of we'll overcome this? I know the other person believes the best in me. I know they love me and they're loyal. And I know that they know I love them as well. We'll get through it. And I think, did you guys agree that carries you through a lot of difficult times? Just that belief and faith that you get through it?
Oh, absolutely. It's like, it's family. You know, you always know that, you know, your siblings are going to be there. You always know your nieces or nephews, your parents, whatever it may be. It's no different here. We've got dad. That's Dwayne. You know, we've got the crazy uncles. That's one of my technicians out in the shop.
Oh, I thought you were going to call Jose and Lee the crazy uncle.
not on Mike.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your little brother. It's the new guy out in the quick lube, you know, and we're all here for each other.
100%.
Great questions, Brian. Thank you for all that great follow-up. The word I heard was toxic. It wasn't, trust me, my favoriteest word, but I wrote it down because I hear an awful lot about that. People don't like their jobs and they don't like to work in the environments that they're in. Our industry is poised for greatness if we can solve some of these problems.
Yeah, you know, I'm a believer. I think we'd all agree that every shop has a culture of some sort. And I've always said that what culture is what people see and how people feel, both clients, vendors, and team members when they're in your organization. You know, I've found that toxicity can be a 12 to 18 month decline. So if you have a team member or a culture of toxicity, it can literally be a year and a half decline, and it's a slow erosion. And then what it is cancer, or I hate to use this analogy, but I will, because we're going to get it, is virus. Okay. And what I mean by that is you can identify that one person's been a cause. You can eradicate that cause, but that virus has spread this, and we'll find that it can take another 12, 18, 24 months to climb out of that. Now you can make a big impact, you know, in the short term, moving those people out, or even fixing yourself. If you're an owner that has that you're creating a toxic environment, you can be fixing or improving yourself, and it will make some difference. But sometimes it's a long haul, as you guys can probably both attest, Norm and Jason, that you can make one move, but you might need to make two or three moves to fully rid and to change that culture. And then it's probably, you know, if you saw a car count decline or a production decline, it might be another year, year and a half before you really see that the baby, you know, climb out of the hole there. But yeah, toxicity, man, I think if a lot of organizations have it and you know it's there, but you feel handcuffed by a lack of technicians or inadequacies in your hiring processes or whatever else, that you're not doing something about it. And man, is that crippling. Hurts me at the soul level to know that.
It's refreshing to have done this episode because we've got three incredibly, not unique, but important perspectives on our world, on our life, on our challenges, on our industry. And let's go back to the beginning when we talked about your value set, Brian. Synergy, trust, responsibility, integrity, positive attitude, excellence. These guys talked about it and they showed why it's important to have that and to build an organization like that. And then, you know, you're talking about, you know, we're talking about the toxicity and, you know, the old fire fast and hire slow thing, that you have to learn how to do that. Jason, I guarantee you know the answer to this question. You've got a little toxic going on in the company. Dwayne, Lee, Jose, they may be a little too far away and don't necessarily know it, but your entire team does. And they're looking to you or someone in the company to do something about it.
I want to believe there's good in everybody. And if somebody is causing a toxic atmosphere, find out why. You know, is there something going on in their personal life? Are they not happy with, you know, the position that they're in? What is it that's making that person tick that way? Figure that out. And, you know, it's different when it comes from a fellow employee, a coworker, as opposed to, you know, your manager dropping a hammer on you. You know, just kind of help pick those people up if you can. And carry them with you and show them that, hey, I get it. I understand where you're coming from and why you're acting this way, but man, there's a better way to do it. Let's do it.
I had like 10 more questions to ask each of you, but I want to put a bow on this. This was nice. It worked. And again, big honors to the Apex 2020 Shop Owner of the Year award winner, Brian Sump, the Technician of the Year, Norm Schultz, and the Service Advisor of the Year, Jason Sexton. Huge honors. First time Apex is going to do it every year from now on. You guys led the pack here unprecedentedly in an unprecedented year. Hey, thanks so much for coming here and sharing your story.
No, thank you, Carm.
Thank you, Carm. It's a pleasure.
It's always great, Carm. Again, I say every time I'm with you, thanks for what you do for the industry, creating a platform to drive us to improve our reputation, our image. It's really refreshing. So thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the kind words.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.